This is the All Things Bama Podcast, powered by the Bama Central Broadcast Network. Welcome in to the All Things Bama Podcast. I am your host, Mason Woods, and as always, I'm joined here by my good friend, Joe Gaither. We've got a handful of things we're going to get into today. I do want to... Unfortunately, we got to open the show talking about the Mark Sears situation. I know we addressed it at length on your show, but just for anybody who may have missed it this week, we will spend a few minutes there. There's also been a handful of basketball games since our last show, since last time we talked together. So we will break down Bama's last four SEC wins just a little bit and what they mean for the team moving forward. And we'll take a look at tomorrow's game against Georgia as well, just a bit. Do also want to get into recruiting some today. Alabama is preparing to host Junior Day tomorrow, and we'll welcome a massive crop of 2026 recruits on campus and even one from the 2027 class. Also, we had the Senior Bowl this week. Alabama sends five representatives. We will break down what each of those guys did this week, if they were able to improve their draft stock or if they hurt their draft stock. But before any of that, Joe, how are we doing today?
Oh, having a great day. Excited to get into all things Bama with you. Excited to get into some basketball and find out who some of these recruits are coming into Tuscaloosa.
Let's start with a little basketball talk. Perfect. And let's just knock this out of the way. Address the proverbial elephant in the room, I guess, if you can even call it that at this point. It seems like it's kind of beating a dead horse, I think. But the Mark Sears situation following last Saturday's LSU game. The Crimson Tide did defeat LSU 80-73 last Saturday, but that was not the story of the night. The story was instead that Mark Sears was benched for the entire second half. Nate Oates was asked about it in his press conference, and paraphrasing what he said, it was basically, well, we played the players that gave us the chance to win the game. Fine. Following the game, and again, going to paraphrase because I don't care to read the full comments again. You can find them on the Joe Gaither Show. We did go through them there. But Mark Sears' mom comes to his defense on social media, kind of shutting down any notion that he was injured, that he was having an off night, that he was sick, et cetera, whatever it was. And, social media goes on weaving this narrative and just runs with it. Trouble in paradise. Oh, Nate Oates sold Mark Sears a dream. Yada, 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 whatever you want to say. It just got kind of ridiculous. To me, it was nothing more. And, again, we talked about it on your show, but it never was anything more than just a... mama bear protecting her cub. It was just a mother coming to the defense of her son who was being, for lack of a better term, ridiculed on the internet by a lot of people because he got benched in a college basketball game, in the middle of the regular season in a game that by the end of the year isn't really going to make a huge difference. So, it was just such a nothing story that got blown out of proportion. I think you share the same sentiment, but I don't know. It was just, we had to run through the... just to get it out of the way. And obviously, following all of it kind of getting blown up, Mark Sears' mom came out with just like the most perfect response that you can have in anything. And, just to sum it up, it was basically like we just said. It was, I am his mother. I will protect him at all costs, no matter what the situation is. And, that's the perfect way to put a bow on this situation, I think. She said they didn't agree with the decision to bench him, obviously, but they understand that in team sports, things like this happen, and they just have to persevere. Great on you, Sears family. Mark Sears bounced back against Mississippi State next game, and that will take us there. Had a great performance. I was pretty happy with what he did in that game.
Mostly. I don't like seven turnovers, but he was all over it.
Yeah. The seven turnovers were, we can't have that. But again, basically, he almost finishes with a triple-double, 17 points, 9 rebounds. I think he had 6 assists, or 9 assists. I think he had 6 rebounds, too.
Yeah.
So
nearly a triple-double.
Yeah, pretty close, almost there. Pretty great game. He, obviously rejoined the starting lineup, and, everything was pretty normal for Alabama. It was a tough game, obviously, Chris Hubbard comes out and drops almost 40 points on Alabama. Josh Hubbard.
I've been doing that too.
Josh drops almost 40 points on Alabama, career high. They didn't really have much of an answer for him, but like we talked earlier in the week, a lot of it was very hard shots that he was just making contested shots. It kind of was just like, sometimes you just got to live with that. Somebody's going to go off, a la Trayson Eaglestaff a few weeks ago at North Dakota State. There wasn't really a whole lot you could do. That guy was just launching them, and he was making everything he was putting up. So, but, The same issues persisted a little bit for Alabama. I think you didn't see full 40 minutes of effort once again. It was horrible free throw shooting. Didn't really get to the line super effectively. And when they did, they only made about half of the free throws that game. I think it was like 50, 55%, something like that on the game. But some disappointing things, but you did have some positives. You get your Chris Youngblood breakout performance, 7 for 10 from three-point land, finishes with, I think, 23 points. So if that is an indicator of what's to come, I feel pretty good about maybe, you know, long-term what that game did for Alabama's confidence, what it did for Chris Youngblood's confidence. That was certainly the quite the scoring output and something that I think Alabama really needed to win this game.
Stupid Google has me on an Alabama Mississippi State game from 2023. No,
I hate when they do that so much.
I want 2 days ago, buddy. Right there, perfect. Because you said under 50, like a bad free throw percentage, and I saw 55%. Ugh, not good.
Good. Just atrocious. And you only got to the line, I think, 20.
And you're missing front ends of one and ones, too.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, you're putting yourself in a bad position. You're leaving free points on the table. This is something that we have complained about for a while with this team. Now, obviously, this game is even a bit of an outlier with how bad it was. You know, they've kind of hovered around that, like, 75%. We wish they would get into that 80%. But, yeah, it's just disappointing to see it continue to be a bit of an issue with this team. But Chris Youngblood, just a breakout game, and the way that he opens up the offense, I think, is really, really huge for Alabama.
Yeah, well, I mean, you needed it considering what you lost in Latrell Wrightsell, and I think a lot of the attention this year has gone to Mark Sear, so you needed somebody. Oh my gosh, almost every game you've had somebody step up from the three-point line, whether it's Mark or Aiden or Chris. But this is like really the first time that Chris has been – he went 3 of 6 a couple games ago, but he exploded. Yeah, I think that it's really good to see another player that, hey, we can give him a high volume of shots and he's going to start making them. I think that really he's fully healthy, and that's a big deal. I don't know that he was fully healthy even when he was coming back in, what, December or so. And now that it's almost done with January, not only the shooting, I mean, the shooting is obvious, but when you're there on Saturday, watch him in the huddles, watch him on the sidelines. He is a vocal, he is a rah-rah, he is a, hey, let's go, let's all keep it up. I think that he's a really important piece to this team on and off the court.
You mentioned Saturday. That'll take us right there. Talk about Georgia a little bit. Bama is welcoming Georgia to Coleman Coliseum on Saturday at 3 o'clock, so you got plenty of time to have a nice, easy morning, to make your way down to Coleman, and get in there and hopefully cheer them on to a victory. But Georgia is, and we've said it multiple times, a very feisty team. They beat Kentucky. They beat Oklahoma. Or was that their two? I know they have. Was their two big ranked wins? Oklahoma was one.
They beat
Kentucky and Oklahoma. They did go on a stretch, losing 4 straight to Tennessee, Auburn, Arkansas, and Florida. That Arkansas loss sticks out really bad, you know, because Arkansas is a dumpster fire right now, seems like. But anyway, you know, for the most part, they've pretty much only lost to good teams. You know, you have a loss to Ole Miss, lost to Tennessee, lost to Auburn, and Florida. You won your other SEC games, for the most part. So I think it's a team that will not just roll over. They will come into Coleman Coliseum and they will put up a fight against this Alabama team. They're, 37th in KenPom, 76 offense, 19th defensive rating. So, you know, not the most overly impressive offensive team, but can lock you down on the defensive end.
They're going to try to win the game 68-61.
Yeah, that's exactly what they want. Yeah, they're extremely slow. They average, 75 points a game. So, I think Bama's the key is just to get out and run and force them to run with you and then not turn the ball over. If you can do that, Bama should have no problem winning this game.
Yeah, I think so. I'm with you. I think it should be. I mean, you look at the predictions, it's like 85, 86% chance to win according to the analytics. My big concern is, will you be ready just from the jump, right from the tip? Or does Coach Oates have to get in your rear end to get you going? Will you be ready? And can you play the 40 minutes? Like, don't lazily turn the basketball over. They're going to play slow. Don't fall into that trap. You gotta play your game. Gotta rebound the basketball. I mean, goodness gracious. The shooting for Alabama hasn't really been elite this year. The rebounding has been what's kept us. So get after the boards tomorrow. And simple. It's as simple as that. You get after the boards, you don't turn the basketball over, and you keep the pace high, and you're going to cruise to 15, 20-point win.
You mentioned the shooting has not been an elite level, and that takes me perfectly into what I wanted to get to next, this tweet from, and look, I'm not a fan of this guy, Barstool guy, Rico Bosco, but he is notorious, a big Nate Oates and Alabama fan. He's always banging the crimson drum on Twitter. And he put together some stats here. And it just in Alabama's biggest wins this season against Houston, Texas A&M, Illinois, Kentucky, Mississippi State, Creighton, UNC, and Oklahoma, they've shot over 40% once from 3-point or from beyond the arc. So it's not, you know, this team can very obviously have off nights from beyond the arc and still string together wins against really, really good competition. I don't think that, you know, the live by the three, die by the three is just not, that's not real. That's not really a thing with this team.
It's never been real with Coach O's.
Yeah. This team is so incredibly talented. If they can just get active on the boards and not turn the ball over, they should beat just about anyone. And, you know, this game should be no different. I think turnovers are, they have been just the knife in the back of Alabama this entire season. Every, you know, you look at a box score and you're like, how did that happen? And it's like, oh, look, dig a little further. Oh, they had 20 turnovers. Oh, they had 18 turnovers. Oh, you had 24 turnovers, whatever it is. Those are the games where you get, you know, the most frustrated with this Alabama team, where you see them just completely collapse and look like, I don't understand how this much talent can play this bad.
14 on Wednesday against Mississippi State.
That's not great, but it's doable.
Yeah.
It's manageable. I would love to see 12 or under.
12 or fewer.
Ten or under.
That's the magic number right there to me.
I mean, you know, you break down that 14. If you take away, what, 4 from Mark Sears, you know, you're feeling a little better about that. Seven total from Mark Sears is really tough. I think that is, you know, probably not going to happen every night, hopefully, we would think. Unless maybe, you know, if it does, maybe we'll see a repeat of that second half of the LSU game.
No, I bet you they're going to review film and be like, Mark, I think you're pressing a little bit here or there.
Probably. I think that probably was what was happening. You know, he wanted to, you know, he heard the talk just like you and I did. He wanted to go out there and prove a bunch of people wrong. No, I don't, you know, I don't have any problem with that. I would probably want to do the same thing. So I understand why you maybe tried to force it a little bit, but just, you know, lock it in here. You got a good team coming to Coleman. And you have an incredibly, incredibly tough stretch of basketball coming up to close the season. With just, what, 2 games now between now and then? Georgia and Texas, I think, are your last 2 before you hit this 7-game stretch of ranked play.
Just disgusting stretch.
Golly, you end the season with 7 straight top 25 matchups.
Georgia, Arkansas, Texas. Oh, Arkansas. And then you go Auburn, Missouri, Kentucky, State again, at Tennessee, Florida, and at Auburn.
Golly.
2-3. Brutal.
That's just, I mean, abysmal. That is going to be
brutal.
You cannot afford to drop any of these games against a Georgia, against a Texas, against an Arkansas. These are the games that you have to win if you're Alabama, if you want a chance at that regular season title at the end of the year. Because, like I think we talked about it yesterday, like, you control your own destiny right now. You play Auburn. You have a chance to take that spot from them, that number one spot. So, you know, if you can be perfect elsewhere, you control your destiny. You play the number one team. You have a chance to go secure that title, and then who knows, maybe even go for the double championship. And in a year like this, that would be one of the most impressive things ever. I think I think it was Jay Billis, some college basketball analyst, said the other day that winning the SEC tournament might be more impressive than winning the NCAA tournament this year. And, like, he's not all that wrong. You know, it sounds crazy to say, but I mean, you look top to bottom of this league, it's just ridiculously deep. It is so talented, every team. Oh, man, it's gonna be a tough stretch for Alabama.
Massively, and that's why you got to take care of these home games. Tomorrow, okay, I mean, we're moved on from the Ole Miss game, but tomorrow, even though Georgia's inferior to you, they can beat you, and you really need to make sure that protect home court. You talk about the stretch right here. You look at the stretch. How many of these home games? You got to beat Georgia, and then even though Arkansas and Texas aren't ranked, you're on the road. That's not going to be easy. Texas beating Texas A&M. Arkansas, despite the dumpster fire, is still talented.
Sure.
And you're It's just brutal. It's just brutal.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, it's brutal for every team in the SEC, sure, but just this seven-game stretch is really, really tough for Alabama the way it has lined up here.
Absolutely. And so, you know, that makes tomorrow very important.
Yeah. You know, we get closer to March. I think right now I was looking at the bracketology. They have Alabama, which I'm a fan of this, number one seed in the Midwest, not having them go out to Seattle or wherever is being played out there. What do you think of the Midwest? How we feel there?
What are our regions this year? NCAA tournament regions 2025. Let's find out. The regions are, oh my gosh, as NCAA is loading. The West region. Okay, all right. Perfect. Obviously the Final Four is in San Antonio. That's not going to be too terrible. Here we go.
We're already preparing to be there. So
Exactly. The East Regional is in Newark, New Jersey. The West Regional is in San Francisco, California. The Midwest Regional is in Indianapolis. Okay. I think that's a good drive.
Yeah.
It's what? 4 hours to Nashville. It's three, four hours to Nashville, and then it's two more to Louisville, and it's two more to Indianapolis. So what's
that's
that? 7 hours?
That's not too bad. San Francisco sounds awful.
But can we just beat Auburn?
Please.
Can we just beat Auburn and get in the South Regional that's in Atlanta?
Yeah, that would be awesome. That would be really, really nice.
First and second rounds are some of these sites.
New Jersey would be cool, though. You know, I just got back from New Jersey, though. I liked it up there. That was pretty fun.
some of these first and second round sites are awful. All right, Raleigh, North Carolina, not bad. Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Denver, Colorado, Cleveland, Ohio, Wichita, Kansas, Seattle, Washington, Providence, Rhode Island, Lexington, Kentucky. How did Lexington get a first round? And then obviously the first four is in Dayton. I guess Midwest and South would be the preferred.
Yeah.
East is not horrible. Look, send just Duke to the East. Put Duke in the East bracket. That's fine. Let's beat Auburn and claim that South bracket, sure. And so they can go to the Midwest. That's fine.
Make Auburn go to Indy.
That ain't that far anyways.
No. Just anything but San Francisco, please. I don't want to go to San Francisco.
If you're going to San Francisco.
I do want to pivot. Let's pivot from basketball to the football side of things a little bit. Talk a little recruiting talk. We brought it up on your show. Alabama is getting ready to host Junior Day tomorrow. We'll welcome 2026 recruits and one 2027 recruit. So a lot of guys that are going to be in town, a lot of really talented guys, a lot of 4- and 5-star talents. Let's just, you know, run through the list here because it's a long list. And, you know, obviously we don't know many of these guys super deeply, but the ones that are important are at least the ones that jumped out to me. Zion Gibson, currently Alabama's only commit for the 2026 class. He will be in town. So just another chance to continue to familiarize himself with Tuscaloosa, with the campus. I think that's great. Another in-state prospect, Kamarion Johnson, defensive lineman, I believe just recently named Alabama in his like top 5, top 7, you know how they do, what could maybe his top 15, who knows, you know. It was in his top schools, so Alabama definitely in the conversation there for him. I mentioned this, I think, on your show. 4-star running back Xavier Crowell from Jackson, Alabama, just recently reclassified from 2027 to 2026. Is the went from being the first ranked player in the class to now the 6th ranked player in the state, I think. But still, really, really talented player, going to be on campus. And Alabama is welcoming 4-star safety Darryl Bell III from Florida, current Seminoles commit. So maybe we'll see if they can get the flip there. The 2027 commit, Jabarius Gare, we've mentioned him on, I think, multiple shows. He's just a freak. To be only a sophomore, he has like, I don't have his stats pulled up here, but I know I've looked at them before. He had like 18 sacks or something. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, whatever NIL budget needs that you have, you got to save some for him.
Yeah, he's a freak. I really, really like him. I think, you know, he is a guy that if you can keep him around, he's going to be a cornerstone of that class for Alabama and probably one of the marquee players in the class as a whole.
Very excited about him.
Alabama did also send out a dozen new offers this week to players from the 2026 and 2027 classes, the most notable ones being, at least in my opinion, 4-star quarterback Colton Nussmeier, brother of Garrett Nussmeier. Do you think this is just any kind of gamesmanship to be like, hey, you know, Tell us what your brother, what they were doing there. Tell us about what they were running over at LSU.
No, I think DeBoer is just shopping, and that's my friend. I mean, Garrett wasn't. No, Garrett's not bad. He's not great, but
he's one of those where you see it. You know,
do your due diligence and check out the younger brother.
Just doesn't come together a lot consistently for Garrett, but I think you see it in spurts. Another four-star cornerback, Brody Jennings, current Michigan commit. Just another guy probably trying to hopefully get a flip there. But that's, let's see. Five-star, I mentioned this guy, Tristan Keys. He is I think I mentioned him on your show just a few minutes ago when before we got done. I'm very, very excited about him. He just, take this as you will, it is his top 12 schools, so I don't really know how much weight that carries.
Get out of here. We don't care until you're down to your top six.
Alabama is in his top 12 schools, the number one overall player in the state of Mississippi, 6'2", 175-pound receiver from Hattiesburg. Currently being recruited by, Alabama, Tennessee, Texas A&M, Auburn. Basically, you name it, this kid's got an offer from there. Looking at his scouting report here, it's just like nothing but constant praise on how he could just project to be the most elite receiver. You know, pairs elite ball skills with elite dynamic route running, superior athleticism, and a long levered frame, creates separation with suddenness, breaks off defensive backs with snappy cuts. You can watch it on the highlights, obviously. Now, they are highlights, so it's only going to be the best of the best, but you just see it. He is like I said, 6'2", 175, so he is big enough to be a kind of physical receiver and go get contested catches, but he is also has that burner speed where he can just break routes off deep and go, catch long balls. So I'm very, very excited about hopefully what he could bring if he does decide to choose Alabama. Now, there's a long time between now and then. We'll see what happens. We'll see if that top 12 gets whittled down to maybe a top five at some point in the future, hopefully. But yeah, that's another guy I'm super, super excited about.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano. Or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's HIMS.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. HIMS.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Let's see. I do want to talk Senior Bowl a bit. There's not a whole lot of juice here from the Alabama guys, but some of them, they sent five representatives. Malachi Moore, who did not actually participate in any of the drills, I think was just kind of there for like moral support for his guys. I'm sure he, got some media interviews, talked to some coaches and things like that. CJ Dupree was another player. He did participate in everything. And from what I've seen, he actually maybe made some money for himself this weekend.
I think so.
Yeah, made a bunch of really, really impressive contested catches I saw, like downfield catches, up the seam, also was doing a lot of work underneath. Now, I think he still lacks the athleticism or that kind of straight line speed to be that like slick, smooth route runner where he's more of a receiving threat than anything else. But I mean, I think he is certainly a very serviceable target, and he's showing that in Mobile. I saw, I mean, several clips where he's burning down the field up the seam, and you know, the guy's running with him, but he makes the catch regardless, and it's not, they were not necessarily great passes being thrown his way either. You know.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a pretty quality NFL tight end. I don't know that he's ever going to be a, ooh, he's the best tight end in the league, Travis Kelce type. But isn't Hunter Henry
like
pretty
Zach
good?
Zach Ertz.
Yeah. Oh, even Zach was probably, yeah, he Zach spent a little better. Bit of time.
Yeah, he was kind of
as
that.
The top guy. Well, maybe a year or two at the top guy. Yeah. I think he's
not like
very,
Hunter Henry, though.
Yeah.
That's a good, just a good, serviceable, solid tight end for, and he'll probably make some team very happy.
Who's the dude with the Chargers right now? Disley. Will Disley.
Yeah, Will Disley.
Kind of think he's like that, where, you know, if you forget about him in a pass pattern, he's going to burn your butt.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I think C.J. Dupree has, I mean, probably of all the guys, made himself the most money this week. I don't think he's worked himself in any, like, first-round conversations or anything, but as maybe a day-two guy, certainly. Tim Smith, though, you know, all that to say, Tim Smith also, I think, had a pretty good weekend at the Senior Bowl. I saw him really, really dominate some one-on-one reps against Arizona tackle Jonah, let me prepare for this, Jonah Savainaya. I think that's how you say it. I had to look it up before.
Okay.
A Samoan, Hawaiian, you know, Arizona player. Very, very talented prospect, though. I think I saw, you know, trying to look into him, I believe I did see some first-round hype for him. So, you know, going against maybe one of the premier tackles in this class, Tim Smith, like, I mean, put the guy on his back. It was kind of insane. And then, you know, looking at him just running through drills and things, he looks like he's moving really smoothly. Maybe another guy who works into that day two conversation and that round two, round three kind of deal. I think, you know, like C.J. Dupree, Tim Smith will probably be a quality pro anywhere. I don't know that he's ever going to be that, like, best of the best of his position in the NFL, but I think he could be a serviceable rotational guy for sure.
Sure, yeah, serviceable rotational. Yeah, I think he's probably looking at about a fourth or fifth round draft pick.
Yeah.
Phil Mathis, isn't he with the Commanders?
I thought he was on the Patriots.
Maybe so. Maybe so. Fidarian Mathis. Maybe he is.
No, he is on the Commanders. I'm wrong. I'm thinking of Barmore.
Barmore, and they had Anfernee Jennings for a second, who's not the same position. I mean, obviously hopeful that Tim Smith gets an opportunity, sure. But I don't have a lot of confidence about him sticking around too long. I mean, hey, get yourself drafted, hopefully. Catch yourself 4 years of checks.
Man, that's a lot of that's really good money.
Yes, absolutely.
That is enough money to set yourself up the rest of your life if you treat it right.
That's kind of where I'm sitting with Tim Smith. Yeah. I'm not sure if he's a second contract type of guy.
Mm-hmm. Didn't really see much from James Bennett, the Aussie leg. But, you know, obviously I didn't see really anything from any kicker or punter. They don't do a whole lot other than just stand on the sidelines and punt back and forth at the Senior Bowl, which, you know, he was doing that. And, hey, he was bombing punts, so that was pretty cool. You know, I did see, and this killed me, because I guess I've just never quite realized how big James Burnup is.
He's tall.
He is tall as hell. I saw, you know, a picture of him, Tim Smith, Jalen Milroe, C.J. Dupree, Malachi, all standing beside each other, and he just towers over them. It's crazy. I had no idea that he was that large. Yeah, very, very tall. I mean, looked to be, what, probably 6'6 or so?
Yeah, that leg has a lot of hinge to it.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of pop and a lot of length.
Is he a draftable punter?
Yeah, definitely.
Who's gonna do it?
Well, my Bears drafted a punter last year in the fourth round, so not us.
Yeah, Titans don't need one either. They just got one a couple years ago. He's doing pretty awesome. Ryan Stonehouse put together the longest punt average in NFL history for one season. I think it was like 49 and a half yards or something like that. Beside the point, though. James Burnup, hopefully finds himself hearing his name called on draft weekend. We will see. You know, punter, it's always weird because, like, you could be an elite punter and it's just some team decides, well, we can just wait and then sign you as a free agent and go that route. But if anybody decides to throw a draft pick at him, I certainly think he's worthy of it.
I do, too. I think that, man.
I mean, he was just so consistent for Alabama.
Take 2 seconds to remember 4 years ago when it was like, who is this guy dribbling balls off his foot, Australian-style punt? Like, when he first got here, it was a little like, are we sure about this?
Mm-hmm.
And he's really, really just
you talk about player development, Nick Saban. Everybody sure. thinks about quarterback, running back. Why, all, you know, I think James Burnup was definitely developed to this point here under Coach Saban and DeBoer. It should be celebrated. I mean, J.K. Scott, when he came here, I mean, he was a bomb from the second he was here. Oh, yeah. That was a
that dude was made in a lab to be a punter.
Yeah, that guy, his foot was so big. His punts.
He was so tall, so lengthy and lanky. Like, it just, yeah.
I think James.
Took him a little bit to get there.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what he does.
Well, I mean, I imagine it's just such a, I'm sure, and I don't know anything about Aussie style football really, but I'm sure it's an extremely weird transition going from that Aussie style, like running out kind of, you know, rugby style kick to just like a more, you know, traditional punt style. I bet that's a little weird.
According to the NFL mock draft database, none of these teams have team needs with punters. But don't you think that that's just total, like...
Somebody needs a punter. Come on.
Oh. Okay, no. It's secondary needs. Okay. Under Arizona has P on their...
There we go.
Atlanta. Okay. Baltimore. Buffalo.
Baltimore needs a kicker, too.
Yes, they do.
We're not going to talk about that on this show.
There's a lot of teams that have P on there.
I mean, I've heard like the question gets kind of thrown around Twitter every like year or so where somebody poses it, you know, of like, if you could draft a punter that could guarantee you every punt would be downed inside the 20 or inside the 10, would you take him in the first round? It's like, I don't know. I might, because that's extremely valuable.
Deadly. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. If you could have somebody that was guaranteed that good, it's extremely, extremely valuable. So, yeah, having a good punter, and James Burnup, I think, is a very good punter, is worthwhile throwing a late round pick at, and hopefully some team does that. But the last guy, obviously, the most polarizing figure at the Senior Bowl, probably total in all, Jalen Milroe. Seems like I see differing opinions on him coming from every account I read his name on. I did not see anything overly impressive from him myself. Now, I was not there. There's many, many media members who had a lot more access to the Senior Bowl than I did. But from all of the clips and all of the, articles and all of the various interviews and things that I did read and watch and see on Jalen Milroe from this weekend at the Senior Bowl or this week at the Senior Bowl, he just was really just kind of okay. It was not really overly impressive one way or the other. He wasn't super good. He wasn't awful. But he just didn't really do a whole lot to, I think, improve his draft stock. I don't think he necessarily hurt it either, but I don't think this weekend did a whole lot for him. Other than put him on TV for a little bit. Maybe get him some screen time. Make America like him.
I mean, we all know. He always says the right things. Yeah. I think his...
I will say,
out on the quarterback class as a whole.
Golly.
Like, the only quarterback I would even you're seeing Jackson Dart might be the second best quarterback in the class. And like, Jackson's fine, but these NFL GMs are going to get themselves fired. Mm-hmm. The most definitive Jalen Milroe report I saw was that the Miami Dolphins had reached out to him to discuss backing up Tua Tagovailoa. And it seemed like there was some mutual interest there. But rain keeps coming down, I just wouldn't draft any of these quarterbacks for anything.
No, me neither.
There's nothing about any of them that says, unless you're just looking for a backup. And if you're looking for, like... Maybe my frame of mind isn't quite right. I can't say I'm drafting you to be a backup.
Well, also, like, Jalen Milroe is not a backup quarterback. You know, he's not that skill set. You know what I mean? You need your backup to just be like the most boring, basic quarterback ever he's not going to lose you any games. He's not going to wow you either. Jalen Milroe will lose you games. He will throw interceptions. He will fumble the ball. He will make bad decisions. He will not read
defenses. He'll take sacks. Yes.
Yeah. It's like he's not, if you are. I mean, if you're the Dolphins, Tua goes down, which, knock on wood, hopefully he stays healthy next season, but it seems to become a regular thing at this point that Tua is going to go down with some kind of horrible injury at some point throughout the season. So you're going to have to throw Jalen Milroe out there if you're the Dolphins, if that's the route you take. I mean, you cannot – you think Tyreek's going to stick around? I know, you had that big hiccup with him now, and, his agent settled it down, I'm sure, reminded him, hey, you're getting paid a lot of money to play football. Let's keep your mouth shut for a bit. He's not going to stick around for one more year of basically the same thing. He had Snoop Huntley out there. That's what Jalen Milroe is. He is Snoop Huntley again, if you throw him as your backup quarterback.
worse.
Yeah, it's just that's not what you want. The only positive and like glowing review that I saw about Jalen Milroe came from Vincent Bonsignor from the Vegas Nation or from Vegas Nation covering the Raiders. So take that as you will. I think the Raiders are maybe one of the teams I've seen be not necessarily as a first round option, but as one of the teams who maybe is looking at Jalen Milroe in the second, third, fourth round. Said Jalen Milroe finished up the Senior Bowl practices with a very strong day on Thursday. Looking forward to watching him play Saturday. Jackson Dart, Riley Leonard also had good days. Milroe has a ton of talent, just needs time to develop it. We have heard that. I mean, I've heard that since he was a redshirt freshman. I understand. We all know that he has more tools than anyone in this draft. That means nothing if you cannot make those tools work for you. I just don't see it, you know. I think he's probably going to get drafted. I do not think he's a first round draft pick. I think really his only hope at this point of becoming a first round draft pick is if he kind of does the Anthony Richardson thing where he like puts together, you know, historic combine number. Oh, fastest quarterback in the history of the combine. Oh, look at this. He rolled out to his left and threw a 60-yard pass downfield and hit a receiver right in the breadbasket. Oh, you know, if he can do it in shorts, of course he can do it in pads with a full defense rushing him. That's Jalen Milroe's, like, hope at this point.
You just... the way that I watch football players... anybody. I'll believe in people until I don't.
Yeah.
I will believe in people. Oh, he can do it. He can do it. He just, this has to happen or that has to happen. Right. And like, this happened with every, I don't know. I was the blind Mitchell Trubisky believer until it didn't. Same. Ajayi Hall. Yeah. Exactly.
I still believe in Ajayi
Hall. Like, until. I hope it works out for Jalen Milroe, but I just if I were a football decision maker, I couldn't watch this past season and stake any semblance of my job on it. You know, obviously you have to play football with a quarterback, but I'd rather draft some other position. Leave that. If I need a backup quarterback. You know what? If we need a backup quarterback that bad, we're just up a creek without a paddle.
Yeah.
You know?
We got bigger fish to fry.
Yes. Like. And like, it's hard to say that because I do think he's a good person. And I do think he works hard.
Sure. But, so do a lot of people, you know?
The whole, it just needs more time. It just needs more time. I'm done with that. And of course you could say, well, he's had so many different coordinators over the years. Who was before Tommy Reese?
Was it OB?
Yes. Thank you. Bill O'Brien. Thank you. So it's Bill O'Brien, it's Tommy Reese, and then it's Nick Sheridan. So
Bill O'Brien like goes out of his way to tell him specifically, you need to switch positions. At least so Jalen Milroe
says. Praying on my downfall. It's like, maybe that was... Maybe that was short-sighted of Bill O'Brien then.
Sure.
Because he was a good college quarterback. But there's no way I'd stake my job on him.
No, I think, you know, Bill O'Brien, say what you will about the guy, he knows what an NFL quarterback looks like. He spent a lot of time being around them, a lot of time coaching them, a lot of time developing them. He knew from the jump Jalen Milroe was never going to be an NFL quarterback. Now, I tried to... with my crimson colored glasses, you know, convince myself for the last 2 years that, well, no, it's going to, he'll get there. He's just got to figure it out. Oh, this new offense will unlock him, give him new opportunities. It just hasn't happened. And yeah, like you said, I'm kind of done trying to hold out hope for it. I just, at this point, if it happens, awesome, but I don't think it's going to.
Right.
I think he's probably looking at like fourth, fifth round pick this year. Maybe he sticks around for a year or two with somebody. Hopefully he finds a nice niche on the team to be of value, but it's just going to be tough for a player like him to find a role on an NFL team, I think. But that's I think that's really all I've got today. Let's see if I haven't. You know, that's about all I've got today for the show.
What you doing next week? Why don't you tell them? Because that's probably a good thing.
next week, we will have a very special episode. We will have our baseball preview. We will be welcoming our friend Will Miller from the Bama Central Writing Network to join the show. Tell us all about this Crimson Tide baseball team that I, be honest with you, know, I mean, less than nothing about. I don't know anything. I mean, I don't think I can tell you one player on this baseball team. I know that sounds bad to say, but boy, I'm looking
Gage Miller's
to
not still on the team, I don't think.
Looking
I know
forward
Riley
to Will Miller
Quick.
Giving us the rundown there because I don't know what's going on.
Justin LeBron, best player on the team.
There we go. I have heard that name.
Shortstop.
Yeah, I do know him.
Shortstop, okay. Third baseman, infielder, MLB prospect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll bring Will on next week. We'll talk about baseball. We'll get ready for the season kicking off. I think it's February 14th is when they start.
Ooh.
My birthday. That's all we got for
That's
the day.
That's romantic.
Though. Yeah, it'll be a nice. You know, how could you not be romantic about sports?
Go out to the Joe. Take your date to the Joe.
That's all we got for today. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to remind you all to follow the show, rate the show 5 stars on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon, wherever you get your podcast. Give both Joe and myself a follow on Twitter at JoeGaither6 and at MAWoods_. Like I said, be sure to come back next week for a very special episode where we will be previewing this year's Alabama baseball team with Will Miller of the Bama Central Writing Network. Thank you again. This has been another episode of the All Things Bama Podcast. We'll be back next week.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.